you still have the stamina for this.
Yes.
I was going to talk to you for half an hour, but I'm a little late, as you can see. And I think my talk is actually 35 or 37 minutes, give 30 seconds, because I have quite a few props, and that takes a little time. So you'll know that I'm not starting at 9. You looked at your watch, right? And if you look on me with a charitable and sin-covering eye, I'll start, right? Without looking in the mirror, what's on the other side of that? Let me hear it from out there.
Increase.
Increase, yes, absolutely. A vast increase. And that's the heart of everything. I've come to say. When I showed that to my son Bill in California, I said, "What's on the other side?" He said, "A vast landlubber." And I said, "Then too. Every lubber of any kind in all of North America. What we've come for here tonight is not only the vast increase, but also a transfusion. Right? And maybe in some of the graver cases, a transplant. Right? But for all of us, the secret is to have a transformation. Now, when I say you in this talk of mine, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Canada, right? Through you, because you're the delegates. They elected you and admire and respect and love you and will be guided by you to get that vast increase. So remember, when I say you, I mean Canada. And maybe you. You decide that, right? This, I think, is going to be, to me, is going to be a wonderful convention. I hope it will be a turning point in the teaching history of Canada because of one thing. This finger. This one. Keep watching that during the course of the evening and you'll decide if that's true. Has nothing to do with me. I mean the finger. In a way. But you see, in my deep love for Canada, which I'm sure you all know, and in my month-long intensive search to find something precious and wonderful I could bring and share with you at this convention so you really want to be like myself to try to become a different person, the Blessed Beauty Baha'u'llah helped me put my finger, right, on exactly what was needed. So here in this finger tonight I have the answer to all the problems you will be consulting about in the next 3 days. So aren't you glad I came? Right? You see, that's worth 38, 35, 36, 37 minutes, right? And your friendly neighborhood hand has come with the magic finger. Well, wait till you see it get into action and you'll understand what I mean. In fact, to save time, some of you will remember at a conference a number of years ago, my friends always tell me that the five most important words in my vocabulary always are when I was on pilgrimage. Right? So in order to save time, because I had to move along, I held up the five fingers and I explained when I was on pilgrimage. And that when I went like that, I didn't have to say that. And that saved quite a bit of time in the course of the evening. Tonight, I'm only going to use one finger to get this work done. And then on other occasions where I may say something a little amusing, I'm going to use my left hand and hold up these cross fingers. With crossed fingers, the hope that you'll think it's amusing too, see? So those are the three signs. The five when I was on pilgrimage, one with the magic finger, and this, okay. And so if you're ready with that, now it's that. Boy, wait till you see that. This is going to do some good things for us. Now, what this finger really means is that it's tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. How short the time is, right? How short the time. But what it really means is new believers. And that's really the thing that we're after. On a scale we've never dreamed of before. And in actual fact, the beauty of the words that Michael Rochester read, that was really my whole talk. To become a different person. They were so majestic, so fantastic. What we must become, the whole world, we're the reason for the creation of the world and all the arts and sciences and everything depends upon us. You heard that. That's why Baha'u'llah said our cause was a cause that no man could conceive of its greatness. And that's what we have to become. But the beloved guardian said, that. As long as we were trying to improve, God accepted that effort, and you were in that class where you could touch hearts and were like a saint or one of those holy souls. As long as you were trying, you were in the same, almost the same station as the others, because God could see your effort moving up so you could change the heart of the world. And if you heard all of that, you know what we have to do during these coming 2 years of the remaining years of the plan. Now, I've come to, as I said jokingly, to practice medicine without a license. I'm going to use that. Of course, I do have a license, actually, we all do. It comes from the divine physician, Baha'u'llah. And also, I'm going to hear tonight, I hope in the next few minutes, practice a few miracles of the divine physician, Baha'u'llah also. Because these years have to be something quite different. And when you leave this convention, you have to be quite different. I hope that you will empty your cups of anything that you have conceived about what you can do for the cause of God when you came. And then when you go out of here, your eyeballs will be on fire. And that people will have to put on their dark glasses just to look at you when you appear wherever you're going to be. Those are some of the things from the divine physician of Baha'u'llah I hope to share. You may want a second opinion on this. I can refer you here to some other famous world healers, the Bab, Abdul Baha, Shoghi Effendi, the House of Justice, and I could go on. There were the others too, you know, at the International Teaching Center, but I only have to 30 minutes, and I don't want to take all of that time. But now it's time for the miracles to begin. Here, right? No, the promise is that if we take these tablets regularly, we'll recover. We will, and we'll become a different people. I mean, this is so filled with promises, you would fall to the ground numb, as Ezekiel and Daniel did in the presence of the glory of God. Divine infallible promise, right? How about all of you? Have you had your tablets today? Right? Well, Baha'u'llah said that we should recite the verses of God morning and evening, and if we didn't, we were not faithful to the covenant of God. And that can make a person very weak and puny if they cut out that sort of thing. You know? For instance, both the prayers and the tablets are very important. I remember when I was at that table, that wondrous table, I needn't say what it was like. You were in another kingdom, you know, and you kept floating up to the ceiling. And mentally, they had to get you by the feet and bring you back down to the table before you could go on. It was so wonderful. During my days there, I was told by some of the Persian friends about the group of Persians who came on pilgrimage to the Guardian and kept telling him how wonderful their work was for praying. They were beseeching God with all of the beautiful prayers. Morning, noon, and night, they prayed to Baha'u'llah to guide them aright and to change their hearts. And the beloved Guardian said, "That's wonderful. But you must also now read the tablets." He says, "Because the prayers are what God is going to do for you, but the tablets are what you are going to do for God." And so that's why those are very important for you. You're all looking way too serious about that. I haven't got to the serious part yet, you know. A similar story of Americans who were there, told at the time I was in the Holy Land. But they had come in the day of the Master. And they said to him how wonderful a spirit of unity they had established on their assembly. They didn't think there was anything like it in all of America. Master asked them how many in their community, and they said 9. But they had marvelous unity in prayers all of the time. How many new believers? And they said, "Well, no new believers for quite a few years, but we do have this wonderful unity." And the Master told them that was the unity of the graveyard. And had no place, of course, in the cause of God. Of course, we're way beyond that. Don't become restless. This is just a beginning. Right? That's our problem. This whole thing is the heart of the problem. But once again, thanks to the finger that Baha'u'llah helped me put the answer on, I think that this is going to become known as the convention the day when the Dominion caught on fire. And you are the people that are going to do it. Nobody has to tell us what to do, right? I didn't say that. The beloved Guardian said that, right? He said the friends don't have to be told what to do. They know what to do. It's all in the writings. What is needed is for them to try it. For the individual to arise and transform their lives and throw wide the doors to a vast multitude of new believers. All we really require is a kick in our convictions. Beloved guardian didn't say that. I said that. Actually, one time when I was with Bob Quigley, he said what we need is a kick in the seat of our cans when we're always saying, I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can do this, you know. If anybody is recording, please take it out of the tape. Or you may hear me the next time in Timbuktu. Of course, John and I wouldn't mind that. That's in Africa, right, John? That would be all right. Well, unless we make these changes, it's true, we'll have a vast. And I wrote it down. We'll have a vast deficit in the national fund, a vast number of lost assemblies, and a vast headache. Or on the other side, we can have an increase in the number of people who have fallen away from the work of the faith, in marriage problems, pioneers returning from their posts, an increase in personality conflicts, lethargy, apathy, you name it, and we can increase it if we only have the two until we reach and have the two together. And that's really going to be the theme all over the whole Baha'i world in this coming year. In fact, from now on again, it will not be this, it will not be that, it will be both together until we reach this wonderful goal which we can set for ourselves. All of us working together to enroll that flood of troops in the masses and the new believers. Oh, that was pretty good too by the time he shorts. In simple terms, the beloved guardian said, drown your troubles. Drown your troubles in an ocean of new believers. Shoghi Effendi said that, right? I know I've told you this many times, but I love it. It's so true. He said, if you need more thrilly pioneer teachers, traveling teachers, you need more new believers. If you need more pioneers, more new believers. If you need more assemblies, groups, and centers, you need more new believers. And above all, if you need the resources to carry out your ever-increasing work for this world-healing faith, then you need a multitude of new believers, and there is no other answer. Teaching, enrolling the masses, everything, he said, depends upon it. In a far greater scale than anything we've ever approached or even thought of before. Because I know your community, national community, has done wonderful things. And here in spasmodic spurts here and there, numbers of new believers have come in. You'll be getting to reach very close to your goal for new believers. But what we're talking about tonight is nothing like that. It is a tidal wave of new believers because the time is short. And without the new believers, we can't win all of these goals. Have to have the flood and the masses. I'm talking about the whole Baha'i world, but this is especially true of your national community. You've been eminently successful at everything else. You've won such victories, there's no need to elaborate them here. But in the area of enrolling a vast number of new believers, the whole Baha'i world, almost without exception, has been a conspicuous failure. Every now and then we hear they've told us that there are premonitory signs of the entry by troops, but nothing that will change the face of the world. Incidentally, I find another with this. What this is one of the things I put my finger on here. I found this to share with you this evening. About what we can do about I found this secret formula in a place no busy Baha'i would ever think of looking for it. In the writings. The words of the beloved guardian about say there. Right. If we want that increase, there is only one way to get it, which begins, of course, with the transformation of each one of us, and then our national assemblies will harness that spirit of new creation of men and women who will cast the sleeve of holiness over the whole world. Those are the words of Baha'u'llah about what we must become. And here is exactly how we do it. First, we see the problem we face. Humanity, through suffering and toil, turmoil is swiftly moving on toward its destiny. If we be loiterers, if we fail to play our part, surely others will be called upon to take up our task as ministers to the crying needs of this afflicted world. And how do we do it? I would expect you to all stand up and join in like the Vienna Boys Choir on this paragraph. One thing and only one thing will unfailingly and alone secure the undoubted triumph, of this sacred cause, namely the extent to which our inner life and private character mirror forth in their manifold aspects the splendor of those eternal principles proclaimed by Baha'u'llah. That was written 60 years ago, page 66, Baha'i Administration, and that's why I thought I'd just blow the dust off, or to remind us, how could we not have this vast increase in all of this time? There is a postscript, I know that I didn't read it, but it said, the postscript, a pencil footnote that says, if not taken regularly, this can result in a terminal apathy or lethargy that can take from you the kingdom of God. So of course it's a crisis. But the bigger the crisis, the better. That's the way we have to face these things. That's not a difficulty. Dorothy Baker spoke to this convention when you were together with the United States, and she said that the word crisis was made up of two Chinese symbols. One meant danger and the other meant opportunity. So the crisis makes us aware of the danger so that we may rise up and seize the opportunity. And I hope that's what we'll do here. That's our dilemma. We must have that vast increase, and we can only really achieve it when we have improved our own inner life. Not my idea, that was Shoghi Effendi's idea, and the masters and Baha'u'llah. Shoghi Effendi said very forcefully that we can never have these great numbers until we show this love. Let me share with you his words. Without the spirit of real love for Baha'u'llah, for his faith, and for his institutions, and especially the love of the believers for each other, the cause can never really bring in large numbers of people. For it isn't preaching and rules the world wants, but a demonstration of love and action. Let me give you an example of the crises. This is a January 2nd letter of the Universal House of Justice. I'm sure you've all read it and thought about it. They wrote the letter to the Baha'i world and called our attention to a grave worldwide crisis that we were facing. Not one, there are four in the letter. All financial crises of extreme proportions. I hope you've studied it, really studied it. The danger and the opportunity of that crisis, because it's a thrilling and marvelous thing, you know. You see, the financial crises that are in this letter, see what's marvelous about that, is that we find ourselves in these financial crises not of something we did wrong, but of something we did right. Isn't that refreshing? Huh? Not because of a failure on our part, but because of a success. Not a defeat, but a victory. That's wonderful. You see, we've reached a plateau where we have the opportunity to do wonderful things. New, innovative, soul-stirring, world-moving, heart-magnetizing. The sort of things your National Assembly and your national community loves to do and has done. And why the House of Justice said the Star of Canada was on the rise. Now we've reached this plateau where we could do marvelous things, but we can't do them. We're stuck in that plateau just because we don't have the money. We have neither the means or the manpower. But doesn't it make the heart ache to know that we might have had it all by now, if only we had arisen and reached individual souls everywhere. Second crisis. Very intriguing, the words of the House of Justice. The letter was written to the NSA of the United States, but it so affects our lives everywhere, even here in Canada. And they comment so movingly on the persecutions of our beloved brothers and sisters in Persia that we should understand this crisis so we can act on it. The letter is not, of course, directed to the National Assembly, any of them, USA, Canada, or in the world. Those heroic and valiant defenders of our persecuted dear ones have done and are doing all in their power to protect, rescue our besieged heroes and heroines, and nobody could praise them highly enough. No, the letter really